Welcome to the XL Podcast. With its origins in Southwest England, you are invited to join your host, Kevin Selwood, as he speaks with a variety of personalities, both local and national, and mostly from within the driver training industry. In the various episodes, you will hear about issues of national interest concerned with driver training, along with ideas and advice to help you, whether you are an independent instructor, a member of a franchise, or the owner of a larger driving school.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. After it's been a few weeks now since I've done one of these, for various reasons, some of which I may well just hint on during this session. But if I'm going to come back, then there's nobody I'd rather have on the first comeback one for about a month or so now than tonight's guest, who is the wonderful and incomparable sort of front man, if you like, of The Honest Truth, and that's Ollie Taylor. Ollie, thank you so much for giving up some time tonight to come and join me.
Kevin, you're so welcome, and what an introduction. I'll come back any time for an introduction like that. That's fun. That's brilliant. I'm probably not entirely deserved.
It's all downhill from here. There have been a few sort of personal reasons why I've not done anything for. Oh, Ollie, you've disappeared. Right, so after that little hiccup, we're back up and running. Ollie, I just want to sort of my recollection of first coming across you is probably at West Point, where the iconic image is of you at 6 foot, God knows what, and a certain pocket dynamo of 4 foot nothing, who, incredibly sadly, is no longer with us. I can't tell you how much that hit me, because Lou Walsh was somebody who I used to talk to probably every week. And I could never understand how she had the time to come back to me when she was also doing the same with everybody else. Ollie's disappeared again. Now, hopefully that's all the gremlins sorted for tonight. As I was saying, Ollie, I think my first memories of you is at West Point with the wonderful Lou. It's thanks to her that I got to know you and got to find out about The Honest Truth. As I say, it's something that I found very difficult to face up to, her just that sudden loss of her. God knows what Blaine and the family are going through, but
an absolute tragedy for the industry, her family, her friends, the industry as a whole. I always found Lou to be an absolute force of nature, and you're absolutely right. I think that was the first time, it was probably the first time I ever met Lou as well, and I used to, as you well know, I used to be try and support the Big Learner Relay in an official capacity every year. Obviously, I've recently retired from policing, and I've been looking through some old photos, and I've got pictures of me in full bike leathers with Pudsey ears on.
Yes,
and then such things, which are great, which is these snapshots of moments in time. And in fact, there is one of me and Lou, which I looked at just the other day very fondly. And you're right, I am 6 foot plus, and poor Lou's not quite 6 foot plus, and the two of us cannot look any different. If we could look any different. So but it's all about, whilst it's an utter tragedy what happened, and we lost Lou far too soon, is things like that make me smile, and it's those memories, it should be the memories that everybody has, and everybody that's listening to this that has of Lou, and look at those memories and smile when you think of them. And when I looked at those pictures of the Big Learner Relay days and West Point and stuff, I did have a big smile across my face and thought, there you go, there's a force for nature for you.
Oh, God, yes, it's a bit more of a tornado at times. and I think we've lost somebody who was a real thorn in the side of the DVSA as well, and, made them sit up and think.
Absolutely.
It's as you say, it's a tragedy, but there's so many wonderful memories to look back on, which is a great legacy, really. I think there's so many people she's touched.
Yes, and it's important. It's important to recognise that and to celebrate. Yeah. You know, the ways in which we knew her. We all knew her in slightly different ways.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's about celebrating those friendships and relationships and, you know, partnerships. However, Lou came into our lives, you know, in whichever way they did. But even the DVSA should be.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, they did send Blaine not nice letter. I think it could have been more effusive.
let's not go down that road, shall we? Let's leave that topic where it is, eh?
Absolutely. Let's move on to what we're really talking about today, which is obviously the honest truth. Now, people can go and Google the honest truth, and they can read about the stuff that probably you're going to talk about, but I feel that it's really important to hear you saying some of these things, because you are passionate about this. I know that. And reading something is so different to hearing about it from somebody who really cares about it as well. So I don't care if what you say somebody can read, this will make so much more of an impact to them than just what's black and white on a computer screen. So why don't we start off with, how did all of this begin?
So, okay, let's go back in time, shall we? So I joined Rhodes Policing. It was a career change for me within policing. I'd been on frontline patrol, and an opportunity came up for a Rhodes Policing traffic sergeant in Newton Abbot. Yeah. And I've been looking at traffic for some time, and I went for the job, not expecting for 1 second to get it, not for 1 second. And I think the most surprised person was probably me, but I ended up getting the job as a traffic sergeant in Newton Abbot. It was, you know, my dream job. And very, very quickly, I realised that I wanted to take on the portfolio of young drivers for the Devon and Cornwall Police, if you like. And there were a couple of reasons for that. Now, one of the reasons for that was that I had been to some serious and some real nasty collisions involving young people, and any serious or fatal collision that I attended over my career were absolutely tragic. You know, don't get me wrong, any loss of life on the roads, any unnecessary loss of life on the roads is utterly tragic. And that's only made more tragic when it's young people who've got their entire lives ahead of them, often as not, through a simple mistake, a simple decision.
Yeah.
Plus, so that's on the professional side. You then take the personal side. And at the time, I had two sons. One was 10, the other was 12. And I knew actually that it wouldn't be very long before my older son, Charlie, would want to learn to drive. We were talking 5 years and he was going to be 17. So actually, I was all too aware of the risks that they were going to face as new drivers, all too aware. And as a police officer, you worry about your children. You worry about them getting involved in gang culture or drug culture or, you know, antisocial behaviour, because they're trying to prove something, because, you know, dad or mum's a cop and they've got something to prove to their peer group. Yeah. And none of that worried me. None of that worried me in the slightest. But the one thing that really worried me was about them being out on the roads, you know, because I knew how easily and how quickly it can go wrong.
Yeah.
So I had it on two fronts. I had it on a professional front from the jobs I was dealing with, but also on a very personal front with my two boys. And I had the opportunity, like I say, to take up the portfolio for young drivers for Devon and Cornwall Police, and then ultimately Dorset as well, when we became an alliance with Dorset. And there was a very, very, very new campaign that has just started to be developed in South Devon, where I was based, called The Honest Truth. And it just started. And I was asked if I would be the police representative on this partnership group. It wasn't a formal partnership. It was just a group of like-minded professionals, people who in fact, many of whom I'm now lifelong friends with, which is amazing. Yeah. Different organisations and stuff. It's incredible how these things play out. And basically, the group had got together following an absolutely tragic, fatal RTC in South Devon in 2009, where three young people lost their lives. At the time, it was one of the worst collisions Devon and Cornwall had seen for many, many years. And it was after that that this group of like-minded individuals got together and just said, look, hang on a minute, we've got to try and find something. We cannot let this happen again. We've got to do something to try and stop a collision like this from ever occurring again. And one of those very, very early meetings, somebody sort of had the really bright idea and said, hey, well, hang on a minute, why don't we work with driving instructors? Somebody else said, why would we want to work with driving instructors? Heavens above, what driving instructors, what do you want to work with those for? Speaking to a few driving instructors, and we soon learned that driving instructors were delivering road safety, okay, as I'm sure all the driving instructors who listen to this will deliver road safety of some sort throughout their drive or as part of their driving lessons. But what we understood very quickly, what we learned was that often as not, driving instructors weren't quite sure what topics they should cover, how much depth to go into, some of the legalities around it, some of the sort of the finer points of some of the things they wanted to talk about. And often as not, they would probably focus on a pet hate. So you might have a driving instructor who focused on speed because that was their pet hate, or focused on not wearing a seatbelt because that was their pet hate, rather than actually looking at a much broader range of road safety topics. So the partnership said, hang on a minute, okay, well, look, if we give you the information, would you deliver it on our behalf? And the driving instructors that we were speaking to said, absolutely, of course we will. So there's this grand ambition to work with 25 driving instructors in South Devon, in the area where this collision had occurred, to deliver key road safety messages to their pupils. Very straightforward. Seminar was run, 25 driving instructors turned up, and took away a very Heath Robinson package that had been put together from other initiatives that were running at the time. Just a couple of type sheets of A4 notes and a leaflet from this campaign and a gizit from another campaign, and it was all in a little clear plastic wallet. And the presentation was given to the ADIs, and they all said, "This is fantastic." All took the little wallet away and went off to deliver road safety to their pupils, and that was the end of the story. Okay. We all went back to the office for tea and biscuits and move on to the next project. Although the very fact I'm sat here is that very much was not the end of the story, very much. That was just the beginning of the story. And over the next month or so, more and more driving instructors were phoning up it was actually the community safety office in Teignbridge who were kind of coordinating what was going on, and said, look, my mate told me about this campaign. Can we be part of it? And we said, yeah, well, of course you can. Not really sure what we'd unleashed at this point. And over the course of sort of 2011, we ran another 10, 11 seminars right across Devon and Cornwall. By the end of that, we had somewhere in the region of 300 driving instructors were now delivering our key road safety messages to their pupils. And we thought, hang on a minute, we stumbled on something here. So we sat down and said, hang on a minute, we could do this differently. We could do something really different here. And I can remember the meeting. It was in Newton Abbot. It was actually at a driving school in Newton Abbot. They very kindly used to let us use their offices as a meeting room, because often it's not, because this wasn't part of our day jobs. We were having to meet in secret. You know, it was in covers under stairs and climbing out of windows so we don't get seen by our bosses to go and do this work, which is crazy. But, you know, we all had day jobs, and we were doing this alongside a day job. And we were sat in this office, and we had a huge couple of big sheets of paper on the wall. And we literally started with a blank piece of paper and said, right, how are we going to do road safety differently? And I'm sure many of your listeners will remember the animal heads were born, and the idea behind the animal heads. And the idea was, the honest truth was about giving young drivers the honest truth about road safety, but delivering it through driving instructors. So we built the Honest Truth campaign around that theme of the animals. And like I said, we had a whole variety of animals for different poor behaviours behind the wheel. And we started to work with road safety partnerships around the country. We were learning about what we were doing, and more driving instructors around the country were getting involved. And it was becoming a full-time job, to the point that I was actually spending more time on this truth than I was on my day job, as was a couple of others that were involved at the time as well. But actually, every single young person that was getting that education, and this is something I say whenever I speak to driving instructors, Kevin, and I always finish my presentation with a question. I'll ask them a question and say, hang on a minute, you know, if you're not sure about whether the honest truth is for you, think about this. If you give all your pupils, 40 pupils, for example, over the course of a year, you give 40 pupils the honest truth road safety campaign messages. And as a result of that, one of those pupils takes away one message and does one thing differently, which results in them not being involved in a serious or fatal RTC. Have you done your job?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And nobody can sit there and say no.
No.
It's It's a rhetorical question because I know the answer already.
Yeah.
I know the answer is going to be yes.
Yeah.
So this is the idea that we wanted to say. We're not trying to save every single young driver out there because that's just impractical. We're not going to do it. But actually, if we can save them one at a time, if we can save just one family from having to go through the heartache and pain of losing a son or a daughter, then actually, as an ADI, that is absolutely your job done. So this was kind of the aims and objectives. We just wanted it to grow and grow and grow. And it was doing really well. It was brilliant. 2013, 2014, it was expanding. And we got to the point of about, we had about 2,000 driving instructors right across the United Kingdom who were delivering the honest truth. The RAF had it as their mainstay road safety brand for the RAF. We were working with a couple of big driving schools. We were working with other branches of the military. It was just exploded beyond anybody's wildest imagination. Then we had changes of bosses. We had one of our sort of representatives who retired and wasn't replaced. I was redeployed back to the front line.
Yeah.
So it got to the point where it became increasingly difficult to try and service what we were trying to do, particularly at the size it had grown to.
Yeah.
It needed a full-time team on it, but there was no funding. There was no funding for it. So with no funding, my wages were paid by the taxpayer, and actually, you know, my boss has said, we need you on the front line.
Yeah.
We need you on the front line. Yeah. We can't afford to have you traveling all over the country delivering road safety because actually you're a Devon Cornwall officer. What are you getting out of it? Okay, well, I'm not going to go into my thoughts on that particularly. Other than to say Devon and Cornwall is a huge tourist area and we attract visitors from all over the country.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, let's leave that there. So... the decision was made in 2014-15 that actually it might be better if the Honest Truth became a road safety charity. And I'm sure there are listeners of yours who remember the times when it did become a road safety charity.
I got involved with the whatever that committee was, sort of steering things.
Trustees.
Yeah, Sue Duncan got me in on that, yeah. So I was fortunate enough to be able to call Mr. Nye Jim, whereas you all had to call him something much more formal.
I still call him Sir. He's retired as well, and I still call him Sir if I see him. He retired as an ACC, did Mr. Nye, absolutely. Yeah. So of course, yes, of course you were. I've completely forgotten you were involved in that era.
Yeah.
So that kind of didn't really work out as we'd hoped it would, and the funding was really difficult. And again, you know the story behind that. And you know, when you're trying to look at pots of funding, then everybody is vying for the same pieces of money. And you know, let's be honest, road safety isn't sexy. If you're talking fluffy kittens and puppies, you're far more likely to get money than you are for road safety. You know, it is just a fact of life. So decision was made in 2019 that one of two things would have to happen. Either Honest Truth would have to find a new home, or it would have to fold in its entirety and say, well, that was a great 7, 8, 9 years. We're in no doubt we've saved lives along the way, but actually it's come to a natural conclusion. And the decision was made, thankfully, that it should be given to James Evans and First Car.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, again, many of your listeners will be familiar with the First Car brand and the publications that James and his team are responsible for.
Mine have just arrived. Literally today, a box arrived with everything in it.
Excellent. Well, that's really good because I actually only ordered those for you about 2 days ago. So that means the dispatch process works properly. I'm delighted you got them.
Thank you very much. So, I'm not sure quite where this is going to fit on the car yet, but I'll find somewhere.
We're in the process of redesigning the car sticker to make it slightly smaller for next year. We're going to have a slightly smaller one. That was a design that was agreed by ADIs. It was a
no problem with it. I'm just thinking of what's on my car and think, oh god, but I'll find somewhere.
You'll find somewhere. In fact, if you find somewhere, you take a picture and pop it on your socials and tag us in it. That'd be amazing. Yep, tag on its truth, so we can have it on our socials.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, back to the story. So, quite rightly, James had been a massive supporter of The Honest Truth right from the outset. He'd been brilliant, and I'd got to know James very well over the the previous 5, 6, 7 years. So I was delighted when I heard it was going to First Car. I became an ambassador. I had very little to do with it at this point. I was back on the front line, back working full shifts, and I just didn't have the time to commit to be able to do what I wanted to do. So that was 2019. And then obviously 2020 came along and your industry kind of ground to a halt overnight, I think is probably.
Yeah, I think it's a fair accurate description.
So they say in life, that every cloud has a silver lining, and you know, the pandemic was no silver lining at all. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Bear with me on this one. And I understand. And I felt so sorry for the ADI world. I got to meet and so many ADIs across the time I was working on Honest Truth back in the day. And I found a real connection with ADIs. I could never be one, by the way. I could never be an ADI. The thought of a 17-year-old, 18-year-old driver trying to kill me at every bend is something that my nerves wouldn't take.
You know, they're not that bad.
I had enough problems sitting next to a colleague who was blue light trained in the traffic car, trying to kill me in every bend. I just couldn't do it. So I've got a huge amount of respect for ADRs. I really have, Kevin. And you know, both my boys, and you know, people said, I digress slightly, but people said, you know, are you going to teach your boys to drive? You know, advanced police driver, advanced pursuit driver. So I ain't going to teach them advanced pursuit driving at 17, am I? I said, no. I said, it's not my job. I'll take them out and I'll do practice with them. And I'll do hazard perception, hazard management. But actually, it's an ADI's job to teach them how to drive. So they both had brilliant ADIs that taught them to drive. Right. And they're both great. I'm, you know, pleased to say they're both great drivers.
Good.
Anyway, back to the story. So 2020, 2021 into 2022. And James and the team at First Car used the opportunity James refers to it as incubating. He incubated the Honest Truth over that period. But what they did was they listened to feedback from ADIs and from pupils to a certain extent. And the overwhelming feedback was the paper resources that you'll remember of old, they served a purpose. They were colourful, they had plenty of information in, but actually getting a young person to sit and read something on a piece of paper, and let's be fair, it served a purpose, but it just wasn't really what we needed. So the idea was brought forward and actually is to where we are now, is to create an app. So the Honest Truth is now an app.
Yeah.
Which that contains a little training, it's a bit short training package. It takes about 20 minutes. In fact, you did yours recently, I can see, on my systems.
Yes, yeah. I did. Yeah.
And how long did it take you? About 20 minutes?
Yeah, about that.
About 20 minutes. Yeah. So a couple of videos, one introduction video, a little training video, a set of verification questions just to make sure you haven't to turn the videos on and gone off to feed the cat.
That was the hardest bit. Oh god!
all the answers to the questions were in the two videos. Most of them are common sense.
I also thought, these people, they're really sneaky. Then I'll check whether I was actually listening to it. I just let it run through for 20 minutes. Fortunately, I got them all right.
Phew, that's good to hear. And then obviously into the body of the app itself, or the bulk of the main dashboard where you can register your pupils. That enables us to then survey them. So we can survey the pupils both pre and post intervention, before they've started the 10 truths, as we call them, when they finish the 10 truths, and then track their progress through the Honest Truth package. And the new videos, they've only been filmed in the last few months. The apps have been available for a couple of months. That both, I don't know if you've seen any of them yet, Kevin, but both been presented by young people. Yeah. So young people talking to young people with the best one in the world. No young person's going to sit and listen to a crusty like me talking about road safety. They're just going to go to sleep. Whereas actually, they will listen to people of their own age.
Yeah.
You know, that peer influencing. So they've been done slightly TikTok style videos, again, the thing of the moment. So that's where we've done it. And then to be able to track your pupils' progress through their truths, so you know exactly where each one is, at which point they can be delivered client specific. So classic example I had a couple of weeks ago was a driving instructor I was talking to and said, oh, your app is amazing. So it's not my app, but thanks anyway. She said, I had a young lady get in the car, we were chatting away, she'd started driving, and you know, 5-10 minutes into the lesson, and she said, I'm so tired, I had such a late night last night. And the ADI went, light bulb moment, said, right, okay, that's great, let's pull over and have a chat. And straight away, out came the phone, on went the tiredness, the tiredness truth, and there it was. And she said, you could see the penny drop.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's Keenan talks about tiredness. And there it was, you know, and it was like, you know, this is just amazing. I've had an ADI in Kent who's contacted me, in fact, came up to me, the ADI in JC, and said, Ollie, I have to come and see you. He said, your apps transform my lessons. Completely transform my lessons. I said, right, can I have that in an email? Because no one's going to believe me. I need that in an email. So we decided that we'd go into the digital world. and that the app was absolutely the way forward. And the app, the first release of the app, which is now available to any ADI, I'll come on to kind of the funding side of it in a moment as well. People will want to know that, I'm sure. Is that's just the first phase. You know, we are in the process of looking at sort of version two, and we're looking at things like sort of having a what we call an RSS feed in this as well, so we can we can have useful little news articles in it, which will change, regularly change. So things that we think ADRs will find of interest, whether that be a link to another article or whether it's something we do ourselves. So we're always in the process, and we're always in the game of updating and of improving what we're doing to what. You know, bottom line, Kevin, the bottom line of this is we want The Honest Truth to be the road safety plugin for ADIs. You know, we want it to be that when an ADI talks about delivering road safety, they're talking about The Honest Truth. That is our ambition. And we think that's perfectly achievable. You know, more and more ADIs now are taking The Honest Truth on. There are a number of partnerships that we're working with that are also taking it on and are very kindly funding ADIs in areas around the country as well, which is fantastic, which means ADIs can get it completely free. So, you know, I don't know, you know, here I am yabbering away, but I'm sure, you know, you might want to sort of add in at this point. So that's kind of the story of where The Honest Truth came from, where it's been, and where it currently is.
Yeah, great. Now, I love these ones that I do where I just sort of light the blue touch paper and let you go off, because it's a bit like teaching people to drive. You know, we are no longer instructors. We're no longer telling them what to do. I say to all the people that I'm training, you're not saying to them what you did there was. Well, what you got wrong, and this is why. This is, you know, bloody well do this next time. That's the old style. You know, what I say to them is, if somebody does something that is not what you expect them to do or want them to do, first thing I want to know is why. Mm-hmm. You know, get into their head, find out what's going on there. Why have they done something? And sometimes it's something fairly innocuous. Sometimes it opens up a Pandora's box. You know, and you can really dig deep into someone's emotions. You know about the GDE matrix, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, the driving test historically has been at levels 1 and 2 to do with car control and not much else. And the higher levels are all about emotions and thoughts and behaviours and that sort of thing. And that's where I'm trying to get our trainees to be. You know, what are the behaviours that are going on there? Are there behaviours we need to challenge? And that sort of thing. And that sort of fits in with what The Honest Truth is doing.
It absolutely does, Kevin. The Honest Truth is all about behaviour change, and it's about you know, encouraging young people and, you know, call The Honest Truth, because we think young people can handle the truth. They can handle the truth. So we'll give it to them. Yeah. You know, give them the information, let them make the decision at that moment in time when they need to make the decision. Yeah. So, you know, when I present to ADIs, I always ask ADI groups, you know, well, what's your job? You know, ultimately your job is to get a young person to a DVSA standard so they can go in front of an examiner and pass a test. Well, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. That is absolutely your job. Often it's not. Very often driven by the person paying for the lessons, how fast and how cheaply.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, how quickly and how cheaply, which isn't always a good thing. And the mechanics of learning to drive are vitally important. How to approach roundabouts, how to take junctions. Those mechanical skills are utterly, you know, I can't overemphasize the importance of those. And I totally get this is, you know, the role of an ADI. But actually, surely, that time an ADI invests with a young person, you know, they're sat with them for 20, 30, 40 hours. They get to know them really well. You know, I remember my ADI and I, you know, I learned to drive 485 years ago. So, you know, maybe not quite that long ago, but certainly I think 30.
I think I can beat you on that one.
I suspect you might be able to. But yeah. I still remember my ADI, and I still remember some of the stuff my ADI taught me. It was a Mark II Escort I learnt it, a white Mark II Escort.
Hillman and Hunter I had.
Oh, you're going to black cap me every time here. I'm not going to try anymore. That's it. I'll give up now.
If you want to play top trumps, don't give up.
No, you win. You win. Absolutely, you win. And what we're trying to encourage with The Honest Truth is to encourage ADIs that those life skills that are associated with the mechanical skills of learning to drive are as important as mechanical skills.
Yeah.
Because actually what we want to do is not just turn out a driver who can pass a standard set by the DVSA at a certain time on a certain day. Because all that tells them is that you were good enough at this time on this day to pass a standard driving test. That's all it tells them, that driving test and pass certificate. What we want to do is say to ADIs, look, surely you want your young drivers that you turn out at the end of the day. Yes, you want them to pass their test. Of course you do. But you also want them to stay safe long after they've passed their test and also keep their license long after they've passed their test. Because whilst the sort of those killed and seriously injured amongst young drivers and passengers are massively overrepresented when you look at the proportion of road users, they overrepresented. The reality of them getting involved in a serious or fatal collision is actually fairly remote. And young people will know this because at 18, 19, 20, 21, you are indestructible. Nothing's going to bend or break you.
Yep.
So actually the reality and the thought of I'm not going to be involved in a serious or fatal collision, that reality is probably not too far off the truth.
Yeah.
However, what they don't realise is how easy it is to lose your driving licence. Mm-hmm. And that actually thousands and thousands more young drivers lose their driving licence in the first 2 years of having it than get involved in serious or fatal collisions.
Yeah.
And this is something that you know, I don't see that often in road safety education, is that, you know, it's about the fatal five and it's about KSIs and death and serious injury. And absolutely that has to be focused on. But there should also be a focus on how easy it is to lose your license and go right back to square one and have to do your theory again, have to pass your test again. You know, 6 points is nothing. One mobile phone offence, two speeding offences, two bald tyres. Two bald tyres will lose your license. Yes. Simple as. So it's encouraging young drivers to think about those life skills. Yeah.
I had a girl about 10 years ago now. She was caught speeding and got 3 points. But she'd already got 3 points from a moped offence. She was going round again. She failed her practical test, first time retake. So, you know, that was an expensive lesson for her.
It does. You're absolutely right. It becomes an expensive lesson. It becomes, once a young person's got that freedom of having a driving test, particularly if they're lucky enough to either have a car or have access to a car, to suddenly have that taken away from them is a huge thing. And I don't think they really, really understand that until such time as they do have it taken away from them.
Yes.
And it's very easy done. So the honest truth is all about keeping young drivers safe, safe from collisions, but also keeping them, getting to hold on to their licenses as possible once they pass their test. You know, it's such a simple process. And as alongside the app, and you've already shown me, so I know you've got your resources. Obviously, you've got the resource pack that comes with it, your young driver guides, your parent guides, your My Car, My Rules cards for that takeaway when they do pass their test, for them to be able to set their own rules for their car, so their passengers have to abide by their rules.
I want to come back to that later because I love how that originated.
We'll talk about that in a bit then, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not just a case of driving instructors having the app and being able to track their students, people's progress through the 10 truths. It's actually that resource pack that goes with it that you got today. So it's a great package for ODIs. Well, Kevin, you tell me. I could sit here all night and say it's a great patch for ADIs. I was one of the co-founders. This is what I do post-policing. But actually, it's ADIs who really should be the people saying whether or not it's any good.
Well, yes. I've had these before because I got when the James took it over to begin with. The pack came out very similar with the young drivers and the parents' guides. I think I've probably still got some of the original ones in the garage somewhere because I've got 50 copies of each thing here, and I work Tuesday to Thursday, and I probably see about half a dozen young people. So these will take some time for me to get through, but also I can pass them on to some of our others and some of our PDIs who just give them a flavour of what it's about, so that when they qualify, they can actually think, oh yeah, this is good. I'll get in on the scheme as well.
Sorry, Kevin. I was going to say, I'm really glad you mentioned PDIs, actually.
Excuse me.
That's all right. We've had a quite a number of PDIs have approached us and said, look, we'd really like to get involved in Honest Truth. Yeah. So what we've done is we've made a decision that as a PDI, any PDIs out there listening, we would be delighted for you to come and join us at Your Honest Truth. All we say is that you've passed your part two and you're working towards your part three. So we've thought it through long and hard. And we think by the time a PDI has got to the point of through part two and towards part three, they've really made a big investment to becoming an ADI. So actually what we want to do at that point is to be able to support them from the road safety front and say, if you want to be an Honest Truth ADI as a part two qualified PDI, then absolutely we welcome you with open arms. But I just wanted to mention that because you've raised PDI.
Yeah. That's going to be music to the ears of one of mine who is absolutely super keen. But she's got a part two early January, so that'll be even more incentive for her to get through if I tell her that.
The minute she's through a part two, if you're out there listening, if you get through your part two, come to us the same day, you can be in the Honest Truth. No problem at all.
Brilliant. Right. Excellent. I'll make sure, because we're Christy, my business partner, and I, we're training probably 7 or 8 people at the moment. So, we'll certainly pass that on to us.
Next generation.
Yeah.
Kevin, before we go back to My Car, My Rules, can I just quickly talk about funding? You know,
yes, yeah.
Money's a dirty word, let's be fair. you know, the Honest Truth has to be paid for.
And I think that's been one of the problems, hasn't it? Getting the relaunch and getting people to take it up again.
So it has in some respects. Now, there are a couple of funding routes for ADIs to get involved in Honest Truth. Now, there are a number of areas, partnership areas, that are funding places, and I have some places fully funded places left in places like Kent and Staffordshire and Norfolk, Warwickshire and Avon, Somerset. Okay, now I have funded places in those areas that ADIs, if they want to, get in touch with us and I can get them a funded place. Now, there are, there are two more areas that I have been told do want to fund ADIs, but we haven't formally announced those yet because we're just going through the finer detail.
Right.
But that will incorporate another 5 counties.
Okay. Excellent.
All in the southern half of the UK at the moment. I am working on the northern half of the UK and some partnerships there. I'm having some early conversations with.
Yeah.
So for those ADIs in sort of some of our southerly counties, maybe sort of South Midlands area, maybe down in towards the southwestish area, without giving away too much.
Yeah.
Actually, watch this space. There may very well be funded places appearing. As soon as I'm given the nod that I can formally announce it, I will put that on the website. It'll go on the website. It'll go on our social. It'll go on our Facebook feed. So keep an eye on those, and and you might well see your area pop up if you're looking to get involved.
Excellent.
Hang fire, and see if it's a funded area. I'm hoping that I'll be able to get those announcements out this side of Christmas, so long as I can get the community. I've got to do a common strategy with the partnerships. Understandably, I need to work with the partnerships to the strategy. So that's one funding route, is through having funded places, which is amazing. And I'm so grateful for the partnerships that are coming on board and that are working with us to fund ADIs in their areas. Now, an individual ADI from anywhere in the country, or PDI Part 2 qualified and beyond, can self-fund for £7.50 a month, okay? And they can self-fund, absolutely no problem at all. Go onto the website, there's a Join Now page. On there, there's your fill in your details, your form, and there's a Go Card or subscription there as well. So we think £7.50 isn't a bad amount for what you get. You know, you've had your box of resources today.
Yeah.
You've got the full access to the app. You know, the app has to be paid for. The resources have to be paid for, and bits and pieces. You know, whatever money the Honest Truth makes, it puts back into development and trying to improve road safety and make it even better for ADIs and for pupils alike. So we thought that was a fairly fair amount per month. What's that? Everybody talks about cups of coffee, don't they? £7.50 is what? Three cups of coffee a month? There or thereabouts, depending where you go for your coffee?
Well, yeah.
2 to 3, maybe?
Yeah.
But to make it more accessible to more ADIs, what we have said is that if there's a driving school out there that's got multiple cars, then if a driving school wants to have all their cars signed up, then we have reduced subscription amounts for multiple cars. Okay.
Right.
So the more cards you've got, the less per ADI per month it becomes. So we then, and all those ADIs out there listening to this, we then at the ADI NJC, I was approached by the chair of a ADI association in Lancashire. In fact, it was a question after my presentation. In fact, that wasn't approached. They asked a question and said, understand that you do sort of reduced subscription deals for driving schools. Do you do them for ADI associations? So I said, simply no. I said, however, ask me that question again in about 30 seconds. Ask me the question again. Do you do a subscription, reduce subscription amounts for ADI associations? I said, yes, we do. So I made the decision that actually, why should ADI associations be treated any differently to driving schools? Yeah. So actually what we've now got is, we've now got a number of ADI associations who have signed up multiple members of their association as if it were a driving school, and are getting the same reduced subscription rates as the driving schools are getting.
All right.
So again, if there are any ADI association chairs out there listening, and you want your association to become involved as an association, as a, you know, as a collective of members, that, you know, we get to 20 members, and actually the cost then becomes £5 per ADI for 20 or more members from the association. Right. So that's straight away, that's a 33% you know, reduction in the cost for everybody. Yeah. So there's a number of those fund ways to fund it.
I can almost see Angie Preslin's ears pricking up at that sort of thing in Plymouth and prodding somebody on the committee there.
Well, funnily enough, I am going to present this to the Plymouth ADI Association very early next year. So,
oh, right.
Angie, if you are listening, I'm coming to you. I know Andy very well.
Oh yes, yes, me too.
So yeah, so there's the ways in which ADIs can get involved if they want to.
Yeah, great. That's there's an incentive there.
No, absolutely. And it's as simple as going across the Honour of Truth website, you know, and I'm sure you'll put it out anyway, Kevin.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Thehonourtruth.co.uk. Simple.
Yeah. Right, so come on then. This car full of teenage girls that you came across on Plymouth Hoe, wasn't it?
It was Plymouth Hoe, yes, or just off the edge of the Barbican, in fact. So between the Barbican and Plymouth Hoe. So yeah, so some years ago, we were running a young driver up in Plymouth City Centre. It was fairly late in the evening, and I was just down at the end of Plymouth Barbican, where down by the Citadel there, if anybody that knows the area, just before we drove up onto the Hoe, and I just sat sort of on the bonnet of my car, watching the traffic go by, and car comes towards me. Very obviously, a young female driver, young female passenger, two in the back, couldn't see at that point who the two in the back were. So pulled the car over and explained to the driver and said, look, you're not in any trouble. We're doing a road safety operation. We're talking to young drivers, particularly late at night. And we just want, you know, to understand the risks. We want you to understand the risks you're at as a young driver. And I said, so, you know, do you know any of the risks that you face as a young driver? And she said, yes. Which completely backfitted me for a start. So I was like, well, that's not how this conversation is meant to go. I was like, okay. I said, okay, fair enough. So I said, I'll play along with her. And I said, okay, you know, what can you tell me? And she passed me a piece of paper that was just an A4 piece of paper. She had folded up in the centre console. So she handed me this piece of paper, under the piece of paper. And on the top, she'd written, my car, my rules. And she'd written 5 rules. And these were her 5 rules. And I can remember them to this day because it was one of those things.
I can remember the fifth. I know the fifth one.
In fact, I'll do the first 4, Kevin. You can do the fifth one in that case. Remember that. But it was these 5 rules. And I was reading through these 5 rules. And I thought, and these rules were, okay, let's start at the top. So it was, everyone must always wear a seatbelt. No drugs, no exceptions. Do not distract the driver. Only decent music to be played. And Kevin, the fifth one was
no smelly farts.
And that was her 5 rules. And I looked, you know, and I said to her, I said to the passenger, what do you think about this? In fact, it was the 17-year-old driver. She hadn't long passed her test. She had a best mate in the front passenger seat, 16 years old, 2 really good friends in the back, 116, 117. So actually you've got a car of 2 16-year-olds, 2 17-year-olds, that, you know, and they were out late in the evening, 10:30 in the evening. So straight away, you've got time of day and you've got multiple passengers. So you're already starting to build your risk factors up here.
Yeah.
So I asked the passenger, said, well, what do you think about this? And they said, oh, we love it because we know we've got a safe ride. I said, couldn't agree more. So I then said to the driver, I said, okay, so what happens if you know, somebody comes to get in your car and they don't, you know, they won't agree to the rules? She said, well, they don't get in the car. She was really matter of fact about it.
Yeah.
I said, oh, fair enough. So I said, well, after that, I'm not quite sure what else I can tell you here. Then I said, well, safe. Thank you for having us this evening. Cheerio. Bye-bye. And off she went with her friends. So I was a couple of days later, I sat in my office in Plymouth, and I was just doing some paperwork. And this stop chat popped into my head, and I was just sat in my chair thinking, my car, my rules, my car, my rules. I absolutely love that. I think it's inspired. So we kind of incorporated it. And whilst I'll claim it as mine, it is a slight bit of from some poor young lady who I stop checked in Plymouth many, many years ago, who had it on this piece of paper. Where she got it from, I've no idea. I didn't even ask where she got it from. I was that somewhat taken aback by the fact. So we decided to incorporate it as part of the Honest Truth package. It's a real giveaway, a takeaway for a young driver that's, you know, if they've got access to their own car, or you know, they drive another car regularly. Then actually getting a young driver to go, right, you've passed your test, amazing, you've got that freedom, you're going to start taking your mates out. We know you are. You're probably going to go pick up your mates now, because that's what you want to do, let's be fair. So why don't you, now you've passed your test, why don't you do the right thing, and why don't you create your own set of rules for your car, and actually make sure that your passengers abide by these rules all the time. They always, everyone must always wear a seatbelt. No drugs, no exceptions, whatever it might be. You know, and three of this young lady's rules were directly relating to road safety. The other two were slightly tongue-in-cheek, but they were relevant to her, and I love that. And it might be that a young driver says, you know, well, you know, you passengers will chip in with petrol money. Petrol's expensive, young, you know, whatever it might be. But as long as at least three of those rules directly relate to the safety of the driver and those passengers, and that card is in the car on show. So if take it into the footy world. I'm not into footy in the slightest, before you ask. But actually, you know, if you've got a passenger who's getting a bit unruly, and you've, one of your rules is you do not distract the driver, all the driver has to do, all the passenger has to do, is all the fancy passenger pick up the card. It's almost like showing them a red. It's like showing them a red card. Yeah. And you know, and actually, there's no problem with if somebody won't, you know, says yes, I'll stick to the rules, gets in the car and immediately doesn't stick to them. Well, actually, then get out, stop the car and turn, get out. No, get out the car. It's my car, it's my rules. If you don't want to play by the rules, you get out the car.
Yeah.
I guarantee that person won't want to get out in the rain in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
They'll soon toe the line. Because I've certainly dealt with collisions that have involved fatalities involving young people, where it's been the passengers distracting the driver that has caused the collision.
Yes.
That's come out in the ensuing investigation.
Yeah.
So we know that passengers are responsible. Ultimately, the driver's responsible for the safety of that vehicle and everybody in it. But passengers have got responsibility as well. And it's really hard for a young driver who's just got that independence and they don't want to lose face in front of their mates by saying, wind your neck in, stop being a dick and behave yourself. Whereas actually, they've done it before they've even got in the car.
Yes.
Oi, these are my rules. You either stick to them or you don't. Yeah. If you don't want to stick to them, you don't get in the car. So it was one of the simplest road safety interventions I've ever seen. And one that has potential to have a huge impact.
Yeah, and just thinking very topically at the moment about those four lads in Wales.
Utter tragedy.
Yeah.
Utter tragedy. I know we know nothing about the circumstances of that yet, Kevin, just the very fact that somehow a vehicle has come off the road containing four teenage boys, ultimately, and they've all lost their lives, is just beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
You know, it's just awful. But yeah, you know, it's very difficult without knowing what the circumstances of that collision were. But actually, it's all about trying to make young drivers and passengers as safe as possible.
Yeah.
So actually, they finish every journey they start, because every fatality every serious collision I've attended is a journey started that's never been finished and will never be finished.
Yeah.
We just want everyone to start and finish every journey, basically, and do it by using one of the best road safety resources. My personal view is one of the best road safety resources out there are ADIs.
Yeah.
Because you've got that ability to have that one-to-one interaction with a young person who's paying to be educated. They're sat next to you, soaking all that information up, soaking that knowledge up.
Yeah.
Well, actually, why not make road safety an integral part of those lessons?
Yes. As much as we can do what we can to influence them while they're in with us. We can't be responsible for what happens afterwards, but we can hopefully just try and sow some seeds of how to not so much how to behave, but how to think about what they're doing, and to have some support and some resources that are up to date and relevant can only help.
Mm. And this is exactly why, you know, The Honest Truth was born, was to be able to give APIs those up to date, relevant resources to be able to pass those key safety messages on to their pupils in a one to one environment. You've got the big presentations. You'll have seen Learn to Live. You know, there are other ADIs around the country that listen to this. You have Safe Drive, Stay Alive, Too Fast, Too Soon, Too Young to Die. There's a variation on a theme.
Yeah,
and those are great. And there's big theatre presentations. And you know, you're talking to, you know, when I used to present at those, you know, you would talk Plymouth Pavilions. We would talk to maybe 1,200 young people at the same at the same time. Well, actually, that's all very well, but 1,200 young people are not going to be taking those messages in. You can guarantee it.
Yeah.
You then switch it to completely the opposite end of the scale, where you've got one-to-one person giving one-to-one interventions, and all we're doing is giving you the resources to deliver those interventions. That's what The Honest Truth's about, you know. And that it is that simple at the end of the day. It, you know, it takes no more time. It takes what two to three minutes max per lesson.
Yeah.
2 to 3 minutes max. The videos, none of the videos are longer than 2 minutes, and it gives them a wealth of information that as an ADI you can then use to open up debate within that lesson. You can talk about it within the lesson. It's a debate opener. It's a topic opener. You know, there will be further information on the website should any ADIs want a little bit more information on some of the topics. That will appear on the website, you know, in due course. We're just writing the content for that. But again, you know, these videos, it gets a young person thinking.
Yes.
And I said, if just one of them takes away one message from one video and does one thing differently when they pass their test and they're not involved in a serious effect of collision.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely job done. 100%.
Yeah. 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 I've got a girl itching to get started next week. She's 17 on Tuesday and we're doing her first lesson on Thursday. She's being signed up, you know, and I'd start talking to her about what it involves and
wonderful.
Just get her on the road to it. Ollie, I'm so grateful to you for your time today. It's been absolutely superb listening to you as always. I have got my next person I'm going to be recording with is Stuart Lockery from Bright Coaching.
Stuart from Bright Coaching. What a wonderful chap Stuart is. Yes, he's amazing. Again, what a force for good within the ADI world. And in fact, I think you are probably aware, and I have no doubt he will mention it during your interview with him and your discussion with him next time, is that actually The Honest Truth, we have a partnership with Stuart.
Yes.
That we are the behavior change behavior change module within his coaching package or coaching program that he's starting to deliver next year, which is a brilliant news. So that's amazing. So any ADI that goes through the Bright Coaching package will get The Honest Truth as part of that package as well, which is fantastic. Great. And I'm delighted to be working with Stuart. Absolutely delighted. He's an amazing coach.
That obviously has taken off pretty well because I think it's their first two cohorts have signed up almost immediately.
I know that the first course that Stuart's run, in fact, I won't steal any of his thunder because he's coming to talk to you, but I do know that his new package has been really successful and been, you know, and been signed up. You know, I think all the space has been filled phenomenally quickly, which is amazing news, both for him and also for Honest Truth as well, because Honest Truth is forming a real integral part of that package, which I'm so pleased that we could, you know, Stuart reached out to us to create and form that partnership, and here at The Honest Truth, we were absolutely delighted to do that. It was an obvious fit. It really was.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So I shall look forward to speaking to him and sort of dovetailing. You know, it's almost a perfect transition from us talking tonight and me talking to him. I think it's 2 weeks tomorrow. I'm actually recording with him.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Brilliant.
Ollie, thank you so much for your time. I'm so grateful to you and looking forward to getting my teeth into all the stuff with Katie Grace next week and a few others that I've got. You know, I don't see so many learners anymore, but they're all certainly going to be watching videos and et cetera and getting the My Card, My Rules ready for when they pass.
Brilliant. Kevin, thank you so, so much for having me on this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure. You know, like I say, hopefully those listeners that are already involved with The Honest Truth, and I'd hope there are some out there that are, then absolutely, if you like what we're doing, tell all your friends. If you don't like what we're doing, tell us.
Yeah, lovely. That's great. And hopefully we'll catch up with each other in person sometime in the not too distant future.
Kevin, I have absolutely no doubt we will. And in the meantime, yeah. You take good care of yourself.
Great. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Well, I'm hoping that that was of interest to you. Certainly, Ollie is very passionate about road safety. And always has been all the time I've known him. So that was really quite a fascinating insight, both into his approach to road safety and what the Honest Truth is able to offer you. Sounds like there's some exciting developments coming soon, and hopefully that a lot of you who have listened to this will be interested in joining in and becoming an Honest Truth instructor. The link to the Honest Truth will be in the notes at the end of this, but as Ollie mentioned, it is thehonesttruth.co.uk, and you can go and have a look at all the resources that are available to you there. So thank you very much for watching this, listening to it, and I look forward to catching up with you next time. Thanks very much. Bye.